The Human Torch was denied a bank loan.
A modern podcast where Chris and Mike talk about TV, movies, superheroes, and everything in between. It's time for Superhero Slate.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Slate, the show where we run down the latest superhero entertainment news.
We love TV, movies, and superheroes, so let's talk it all out.
My name is Chris Dillard.
And my name is Mike Royer.
And Black Panther hires a director.
Finally.
We ask if a hoodie reveals Spider-Man's new costume.
Mm-hmm.
We talk some Marvel TV shows.
If we haven't talked about it enough.
And more.
And more.
And we got that's a lot of Marvel in the title this week.
Yeah, Marvel's, I mean, like, Batman, Superman's not out yet. Once that comes out, I'm sure we're going to get a lot more DC news. But even though we got a little DC news a little bit in the show today, but not a whole lot.
Well, I just think it's funny, like, the first page, like, we have three pages of notes here today. And the first page is entirely Marvel Studios plus Star Wars before the page break. So I'm like, okay, well, we got some stuff, but
we got some stuff to talk about, man.
Yeah, and regarding that, I bought my first Lego set ever.
I saw
since
that.
Since I was an adult.
it's got a Thanos in it and everything.
Yeah, it's got Thanos, Space Captain America, Space Iron Man, Captain Marvel, and Hyperion. And what's funny is a lot of these characters come from the Marvel comic series Infinity from like 2014. And this is kind of like a scene from that, which is like one of my favorite series anyway. So it was good to have it. And apparently they now have it so Legos can shoot little pegs off of themselves.
Yeah, they can.
And I'm like, whoa, my cat's going to eat these. But I'm still going to shoot them anyway. And I'm glad they gave me some backups on that.
So. Yeah, honestly, I was really surprised with the development in Lego technology. And in that giant Millennium Falcon that I built the other week, Chewbacca has his, you know, his crossbow gun. And even this little microscopic piece of plastic that goes into Lego Chewie's arm, which is like something that definitely your cat would eat, shoots little, like, those little transparent circles
studs.
Yeah, they're usually like headlights for cars and stuff like that. Like the instruction showed me, put this little headlight into Chewbacca's gun. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess this is like what the laser beam might look like coming out of it. And then they're like, oh, put this little plastic tab at the top of it. And I was like, well, this is weird. What's this for? And then I touch this little piece of plastic and the thing shoots off. I'm like, how does this even work? This is three pieces of plastic. There's like no spring. Where's all the tension coming from? I just couldn't understand it from a physics point of view. Lego's doing some next level stuff here.
Yeah, they definitely are. I'm really, really excited to see where that kind of goes with that. Because, I mean, I've seen some of the leaked Civil War sets coming out. And I don't want to spoil anything. We're not going to talk about them. But I think the Civil War Lego sets I might buy another one just to have. I mostly like the people. I don't care about the vehicles.
Yeah,
like I want the minifigs of the characters.
Well, I think it's because the minifigs typically they can't really be turned into other things. That's why I kind of like to keep the minifigs, if you will. Just because they're there, I'm not really going to combine them with other figures. But like the Millennium Falcon, I'm actually counting down how long it's going to be until I disassemble it and try to turn it into something else. Right now, it's just this nice little piece that's sitting on the desk, looking beautiful. But like that's going to be torn down eventually. The little men, the little dudes, they'll stay whole.
Yeah, and this one has like it's a spaceship, but it turns into like another spaceship. Rises off of it and it turns into two spaceships. It's like a transformer that's not really a transformer, I guess. But I mean, it's pretty cool. I like it, and which is really fun because that leads us into our first news topic of the day.
Oh man, we are so organically getting into this today.
Yes, Lego Marvel's Avengers is a video game coming out on I think January 28th or something like that, the end of this month. And the Ant-Man, they've announced Ant-Man and Civil War DLC for the video game is free. This is a timed exclusive for PS3 and PS4.
Oh, cool.
Which is fun because this Lego Marvel's Avengers, I don't know if you played the last one, Lego Marvel Heroes.
I mean, honestly, this was going to be my first question popping up. with this is the quick history of the Lego games with Marvel, because I swear I think I own or I borrowed someone's Lego Marvel game, but I guess it technically wasn't Avengers. I think it had other heroes in it, so it wasn't.
Right. So Lego Marvel Heroes was the first one. Mm-hmm. And it's set in, like, a New York is the hub world, and you kind of follow all the different characters in the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. Really fun. I actually 100%ed all the gameplay and achievements and everything in the game for both the 360 and the Xbox One.
Good job.
Thank you. I'm really proud of that. But for LEGO Marvel Avengers, they've actually taken the Star Wars approach, mm-hmm. and they're going to follow all the movies, starting with, I believe, Avengers... and then going forward, including Iron Man 3, Thor. I don't think Guardians of the Galaxy is in there, but Captain America, Age of Ultron. And then knowing that they're adding other movies as DLC, especially for free, is really, really good to know that they're working forward on this.
So there's no real... Is there going to be, like, a hub world in this?
Yeah, I think there is. And I think... But, like, you still will have to, like... find places to do the missions. Gotcha. Because there are more characters. I don't know how many, if you knew how many characters were in the first one, but there's more characters in this than that one.
That's pretty funny, considering it seems like this would be more condensed, because you know, it's Marvel's Avengers, you know, you're just going to have Avengers class type of people, whereas the other game literally should have had all of them in there because it was just called Heroes.
Yeah, and the what's great is this also uses the TV shows, so there's mm-hmm. going to be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff going on in here.
Oh, that's cool.
They took out, there's no Fantastic Four, there's no mutants. I don't even know if Spider-Man shows up just yet because of the Civil War costume deal.
Uh-huh.
And I don't. There's no Inhumans yet either, because they played a big part in the last deal or the last game. So I just thought it was really cool. I'm really excited for this game. You can get it for $60 and then get the season pass, which includes regular DLC content, for $10 more. So
yeah, I'm not much of a gamer anymore, but those season passes, sounds like I got out just in time. I don't think I would be a season pass person no matter what the situation would be.
Yeah, it's, some games are kind of going away from it. Like Halo doesn't have any paid DLC. It's all free.
Oh, that's
And like again, this DLC, Ant-Man and Civil War, is free, but the season pass is for stuff that they might come up with down the road.
So you
can expand your game. But that brings me into, like, we're talking about all these characters in LEGO Marvel. Mm-hmm. We have some Avengers Infinity War news that kind of ties along into this.
Yeah, tell me what's going on, because I'm kind of glancing at this, and just to bury the lead a little bit, I'm kind of astonished with this number here.
Okay, 67... Marvel characters will appear in the Infinity War films.
Oh my god, that is insane.
Now these are not, just to clarify, these are not main characters. These are not 67 main characters, but 67 Marvel.
Yeah. So I think is what they're saying is every character name that's going to be in this movie, you could trace to an origin in a comic book, it sounds like.
Yes, or possibly even in a previous Marvel film.
Yeah, so I'm imagining there's maybe like 20% of these are all like S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in some aspect. You know, see all those S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in the background? Yeah, they all have names. They're all going to be in the credits. We're getting to that 67.
Even if S.H.I.E.L.D. is a legitimate organization back by then, I'm expecting, you know, we have a lot of main heroes to take care of that. Who's to say villains could definitely be main villains?
It would be interesting to sit down and try to put this list together. Like, I'm curious just from what we've seen already in the movies, what the character count would be, you know?
Right. You know, I definitely agree. And see who's living and who's not living to make it to there.
Yeah.
But 67, I mean, across two films, I think it's going to be quite a bit. I think it's going to be huge and very, very, I guess, epic in scope. I kind of think of a Lord of the Rings movie. Like, mm-hmm. battle, like, taking place for, like, two movies.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious, like, we have all of these characters, basically, that we have announced now. And obviously, this count can be spread over two films, so I get that. So it's not as big of a deal. But I'm kind of curious, how do we get a central focus on this movie? You know, like, I would imagine in Civil War, the next movie we're getting, there's going to be lots of characters in that. But we know that Cap is kind of going to be the central focus, Cap and Bucky. Like, I wonder if these Infinity War movies are going to have a central focus. Is it going to focus on, like, you know, Star-Lord at some point in time during the movie, since it's kind of space and Earth, like, uniting together. You know, where's that connection going to be?
Yeah, I totally think so. And, you know, honestly, with the Infinity Gauntlet kind of coming into play and Thanos, like, coming to Earth, I think it's going to be, like, just a huge brawl and a huge bunch of characters, and some being, you know, removed and some being brought in. I mean, I assume the Inhumans will take part in this simply because they have a movie coming out still in Phase 3.
Mm-hmm.
It might be afterwards, but I still think, you know, if we get the Inhumans, that could be 5 to 10 characters.
Yeah.
Out of the 67, because they're a big team, and we just don't know. But yeah, it's definitely going to be, they're going to have to be very focused with what this movie is,
yeah,
and not let it spiral out of control.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder if it's even going to be possible to raise the stakes after this movie. You know, the cartoons and the comic books don't have to be so grounded in real life. You know, we kind of expect there's going to be like a summer event every year in the comic books, and kind of something big's going to happen. Like, they're literally like destroying and melding universes in the comic books. But in the movie, after Phase 3, when we have a space being coming to Earth, or the Earthlings going to outer space to fight him, and he's got these magic stones that can do literally anything, like, how do you top that? Like, if the phases go again to Phase 6, who knows if it's going to go that far? But if they do it again, like, the only thing I could think that could possibly trump that would be maybe, like, Galactus or something like that.
Yeah, totally. Like, they'd have to... I mean, if they want to keep getting bigger and bigger, yes. But, I mean, since, again, back to the comic book, since Secret War just ended,
mm-hmm.
I can see maybe the gauntlet being used by, you know, Captain America or Iron Man to kind of maybe reset the universe a little bit, mm-hmm. and bring it back to a certain level so they can build back up to that point again.
Maybe. And, you know, it's kind of funny. It's a weird, it's not really a concern you would think that you should have, because... some of the criticisms with kind of blockbuster movies in general is like, oh, every summer, how can you find a way to make the stakes bigger than they've been before? You know, like with the first Avengers, it was a city being destroyed. And then they're like, oh, well, let's do like a whole, like let's literally raise the city up and try to destroy the world. So it's just kind of like, when the stakes get so high, you kind of maybe get detached from the movie a little bit. So kind of some of the better Marvel movies are the smaller, more contained ones. But it's just like you can't really cap off a whole phase with those small, contained type movies, you know?
Yeah. Phase 2 did with Ant-Man. So I don't know about that.
Yeah, I still think that's a kind of a weird way to cap off Phase 2. Like, it feels kind of like Phase 3Z to me.
It's 2.5, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's totally cool. But in the meantime, we're going to get the other Russo Brothers film, Captain America Civil War, this May. Totally excited for that.
Oh, it's coming. It's hot on our tails.
But one of the characters who we're not going to see in it is the Red Hulk. Mm-hmm. The Russo Brothers have confirmed there is no Red Hulk in Civil War.
Okay.
And I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah,
because I don't think there needs to be any Hulk in any movie up until Thor.
Yeah, I think it would have been a little too much. You know, when I see Red Hulk, I want to see Green Hulk fight him. I want that double Hulk battle. You know, we kind of have that first Hulk movie that's kind of technically in the Marvel Universe. Yeah. But, you know, since Edward Norton kind of didn't carry over and, like, we don't reference it too much. I mean, we're finally getting an actor from that movie coming back in, which is awesome. But I want to see Red Hulk pop back up sometime in the future. So
yeah,
I think that'll happen.
And again, something kind of interesting is, you know, if we look back to Earth's Mightiest Heroes, Red Hulk, Falcon, Winter Soldier all appeared together in that cartoon for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And all three, and supposedly all three of those characters could be in Civil War, mm-hmm. since the Red Hulk is Thunderbolt Ross in the comic books.
So, mm-hmm. Gotcha.
We'll see. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. I don't know if we'll ever see him, but I mean, that was a fun rumor while it lasted.
Yeah.
What I want to get to next is another character in Civil War who appears, Black Panther.
Yeah, man, he's so cool looking.
He is cool looking. We have the first official news of this movie that Ryan Coogler, who just directed the Creed movie that got, you know, won some awards, will be directing Black Panther that releases February of 2018.
It's pretty funny because I'm very excited for this news, even though I haven't seen a single Ryan Coogler movie. But I'm excited just because I know what he's done in the past has been really well received. Fruitvale Station was supposed to be a very good film. Creed, I hear, was really, really awesome. Like, these are movies I'd like to eventually get around to see, but that's so cool that he's doing a Black Panther movie. I think that's going to end up being great. I mean, you're basically getting this award-winning director, like, at the very beginning of his career, and he's going to tackle this, like, an awesome kind of unconventional superhero movie, because it's a hero from an origin that I would say we're not really used to seeing in on the big screen, you know, and like a superhero from like a kind of a tribal African land. Like, that's crazy that we're even getting that movie in general, but we're getting like a really well-known director to do that movie. That's so awesome.
Yeah, totally. Especially right after, you know, they announced, I think Monday, right after the awards went up on Sunday, for those. And, you know, again, the only thing Ryan Coogler usually works with is Michael B. Jordan, who was in Fantastic Four last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could totally see him maybe bringing him in somewhere in that movie as, like, a smaller role. But if not, like, so be it. He's got Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther. Mm-hmm. Black Panther looks awesome. Like you said, they also gave us our first image with this. Mm-hmm. Marvel did. I mean, it's a shot from the trailer, but it's, you know, Black Panther with the sun behind him in his great costume. I really love how it looks. It looks better in these official images than it did in the behind-the-scenes photos. It's got that shiny look to it, the metal, which I assume is vibranium running throughout a suit.
Yeah, I mean, it looks just very tactical. I mean, if you kind of put your thumb, you know, over Black Panther's face, I mean, this, put a cape on it, I mean, that kind of looks like next-level Batman suit, kind of.
Yeah, and he is. I mean, he is the richest character in the comic book universes when they run the money count against him, so... But yeah, Black Panther's great. We get to see him in Civil War, a little taste. I kind of want to see how he pans out and then where that comes out to, you know, in 2 years when they inevitably release a movie on a Valentine's Day weekend. So I don't think it'll be rated R, but Marvel's starting to grab those coveted February spots, too.
They're coveting every month. Yeah. There's going to be a ridiculous future where it's going to be like a monthly scenario.
Yeah, oh, I can't wait for it. But in the meantime, another character showing up in Civil War, other than Black Panther, is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
All right, we finally got the an official, I guess, release of merchandise from Spider-Man related from under Marvel's umbrella, and from a company called Merchoid. And what we kind of see here in this outfit is it's not organic webbing, but it's kind of like random webbing. Mm-hmm. Patterns under a on a blue and red kind of design.
Yeah, so this is kind of like an interesting tidbit of news, because I wouldn't say it's necessarily the biggest news of the week, because I was under the assumption that we were going to get a reveal of the real Spider-Man costume before we got it in a hoodie first. So I was wrong. I'll admit it. I'll eat the crow, the delicious crow. Yum, yum, yum. Dip it in some teriyaki. Make it a little bit better. But it's just so bizarre that we got the hoodie first. There's no other news attached to it. We got literally no Spider-Man news out of this, just this hoodie. So it was kind of like this big thing kind of drumming up in the back of my mind. But I think the payoff is still kind of cool. Like, I'm a kind of a, like, it's weird. I'm a sucker for these novelty hoodies that, you know, they try to craft the hoodie to make it look like the character, like either the patterning on the hoodie, or I've seen like some really crazy hoodies that have like extra fabric to look like panels, like armor. Like, they always look really cool, like, and I really appreciate the creativity, but I would never wear these. Like, I'm not the type of person to actually wear this hoodie. Like, I don't think I could rock it very well, but I think this thing looks super cool. Like, I love this webbing design. Like, the webbing that goes over the red, I'm so surprised that this is not already existing in a comic book version of Spidey's suit somewhere, just because it's so awesome. Like, it's more random, it's more rugged. Like, I'm surprised, like, maybe the Spidey from the Ultimate Universe back in 2000 didn't go this route first. Like, it's just so cool, and I cannot wait to see the official Spidey costume.
Yeah, and what's really kind of cool is, like, even though it may not match it directly, you can kind of get some hints from it. A, the webbing, right?
Yeah.
And it's a very red, it's a red and blue suit, in case people were concerned. And it kind of looks like it's got, like, arm pads, like, mm-hmm. on the lower arms, which may be reflected in the outfit where he puts kind of armor where he needs, or I guess padding where he needs it, rather than actual, you know, all over the suit to hinder his flexibility. And I, again, it's not the costume, but it's a great push forward. I'm a sucker for those hoodies too. I have two. Like right now, I have a Venom one on, mm-hmm. like just black with the white spider, and then I have a Hawkeye jacket, and the sleeves zip off the Hawkeye jacket like it does in the Age of Ultron.
Yeah,
and I didn't get it because it was Hawkeye. I got it because like how it felt and looks, and I really like it. So I don't know if this is something I'll buy, but I cannot. I'm so excited to see where Spider-Man's outfit goes and Civil War.
Well, this kind of brings up another question that we talked about candidly kind of earlier this week when the hoodie came out, is we were kind of operating on the assumption, some news kind of rumor that we reported last year, that the Spider-Man costume that we would be seeing first in Civil War might be a little bit more DIY, kind of more handcrafted. So I was kind of expecting the Spider-Man that we see in Civil War is to kind of really being like an upstart superhero. Like, you know, Spider-Man, he's a young kid. Like, he doesn't know how to make costumes. He's just kind of putting on, like, hoodies and stuff, maybe a little Scarlet Spider-y, you know, grabbing a mask where he can. He's kind of cobbling together a costume. And what we have in this hoodie, I don't really get the idea of a cobbled together costume. So you brought up the idea that maybe this is kind of the Spider-Man that we see next year in his own movie, or maybe if Spider-Man goes through a costume change in Civil War, maybe this is something we get towards the latter half of Civil War at the end of the movie, possibly.
Yeah, totally. It could go either way. I don't know. We don't know what's going on in the movie, so that kind of leaves us at a kind of a stalemate here. We're like, well, is it real? Is it not real? Could this be it? Could it be somebody else? We just don't know. But I like it, and I think that's the main thing that I guess to take away from it.
Yeah,
it's not offensive.
Yeah, the webbing is sick. I can't imagine anybody really trashing on this too much. I imagine there's a lot of like Spider-Man comic book artists out there that have drawn him in the past. Like, oh man, I wish I would have thought of that. That webbing's so sick. That's all I can think about. That's so cool.
Yeah. Also, Spider-Man related, there's a rumor that they said that they can figure out the time between Iron Man and now, and like in the movie universes, and where Spider-Man fits into this timeline.
So you're saying that he had been Spider-Man for several years before he pops up in Civil War?
Kind of, yes, but yeah. Like it's more that he looked up to Iron Man as a younger child.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
But the problem with that is if Peter Parker's 15 when we meet him this year.
Uh-huh.
They said he looked up to Iron Man when he was 5, 10 years ago. However, Iron Man 1 takes place in 2010. Whenever that's when the first Iron Man shows up. Mm-hmm. So we don't know how, like, if that rumor is going to come out to be true. I'm going to hold it off as false that there, like, there has not been 10 years in there, because if you look at the movies, it's 2010 to 2016, because Civil War takes place in 2016.
Yeah, so. It kind of makes me wonder where Spider-Man role is going to land in this movie. Like, is he really just going to be a cameo, like we've kind of heard, or is he kind of going to be pulled between Iron Man and Captain America? Because that first trailer we saw really makes you feel like this is a Captain America movie with Bucky. Iron Man's kind of like the villain almost in the movie. He's like the antagonist. And it's just like, well, where does Spider-Man even fit into this? Do we need him in here? So there's so many questions to be answered. We'll just have to see. Either way, I'm excited. I mean, we're talking about Spider-Man at Marvel Studios. That's always good. That always feels right.
that's definitely a bonus. Right after Spider-Man gets his own movie in 2017, the next movie is Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, I'm so stoked for this.
Yeah, never thought you'd say you were stoked for a Thor movie, would you? as we know, Mark Ruffalo, aka the Hulk, Bruce Banner, will be like being a sidekick in the movie. Mm-hmm. But also that Kate Blanchett will be the villain in the film.
Yeah, so we've got that confirmation of female villain. We kind of weren't sure if it could be good or bad earlier in the weeks.
Yeah, and there's definitely still a lot of like speculation on what villain they'll adapt for her.
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't know, but that she will probably be the antagonist of the film. So great. Thor Ragnarok 2017, that's right around the corner, man. Yeah. I can't believe that is technically next year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had something to kind of ask you kind of as we leave this Marvel movie segment of our show, I saw earlier this week that you were talking about, you had come across like a theory or something, or maybe a rumor that kind of, if it was true, would reveal a lot of spoilers kind of coming in our Marvel movies. Now, I don't really want to know what they are. I like to remain spoiler free, as I'm sure our audience does. But like, is there anything that you can like kind of tell me a little bit more about that? Because I'm really curious, but I don't want to get spoiled.
I think it's best if we just kind of leave it at this for now.
Oh, no. Wow, it's that. What is it? What does it kind of relate to? Is it relating to Civil War or a movie in the future?
I mean, I would say Phase 3 as a whole, actually. Gotcha.
Okay.
I mean, it's hard to say because, I mean, we don't know a lot since Doctor Strange is still filming and technically only one movie is, quote-unquote, in the can. Mm-hmm. I definitely think it's Phase 3 as a whole simply because the Russo brothers start the phase and end the phase kind of themselves. And we'll just leave it off.
Wow. It's that. Are you upset that you read it?
No, because I take things with a grain of salt. I don't think about these when I actually get to the movie. I'll have forgotten it by then and just be like, okay, let that hype level pump me up and let's get
it
in there.
It must have been juicy. I guess if somebody really wants to know, they can send you a tweet. They can tweet at you.
Yeah,
try to find it.
Get a hold of me and we'll go with that.
Man.
But, I mean, speaking of hype levels, once we get out of the movie universe, we're talking about TV shows. Agent Carter Season 2 premieres this week.
Yeah, that's coming up. I'm so excited.
2-hour premiere on the 19th, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern. So it'll be 2 full hours, not just a regular hour show.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently this season two will use something called the Dark Force, which ties it into Doctor Strange.
Okay.
And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season one.
All right.
Okay, so in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season one, there's a villain called Blackout.
Okay.
He kind of absorbs light and like power, and he's going after Phil Coulson's girlfriend.
Yeah, okay, I think I remember that episode, yeah.
Yeah, so he's one of the people who gets broken out of the prison, and he's kind of imbued with something called the Dark Force.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dark Force will appear in Agent Carter Season 2, and Doctor Strange will also reference the Dark Force. However, the Dark Force, as I've said like 30 times here, it reacts differently to each person it comes in contact with.
Gotcha.
So it's not necessarily always a good thing. It doesn't always give people powers, and it's not necessarily always a bad thing either. So we'll learn more about that as season two progresses. And apparently these Marvel TV shows become more ingrained with the movie universe, much like I thought they kind of wouldn't. So yeah.
So you think mystical in origin is kind of where we're leading for this Dark Force?
A little bit. Yeah, I would say it might be mystical now, but it might have a scientific creation in the post-World War II kind of Cold War era where things like both sides were going to extremes to find, you know, ways to beat the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so Agent Carter season two, again, 2-hour premiere on the 19th. I think it's like 10 episodes this part, so maybe we'll be able to do a recap before Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. starts back up.
Oh, we'll have to see. We'll be talking about this season for sure. You don't have to worry about that. This is a show we're actually watching.
Yes. Another show we watched, Jessica Jones.
Yeah, man. Really, we just finished watching it not long ago, I feel like.
Yeah, actually almost 2 months now, believe it or not. Doesn't feel like it was that long. As of today, season two is confirmed for Marvel's Jessica Jones.
Yeah, that's great. I was definitely leaning towards the way that we were going to get a sequel for it, for sure. But it's kind of cool that, it's official now that Netflix is kind of being like, okay, we're kind of going to get another phase of these Netflix shows. It's not just going to be Daredevil.
Yes, and Melissa Rosenberger, the showrunner for the first season, is returning as showrunner for the second as well, which hopefully keep that consistency forward. However, there's no ETA on when this show is going to arrive.
Yeah, there's kind of a weird schedule that we kind of got to find a way to pin down for all this Netflix stuff.
Yes, Netflix has a lot. Marvel and Netflix have a lot on their plate, and I think that's a good thing because they're pumping out great shows.
Mm-hmm.
In what, 2 months? 2 months from tomorrow, we'll have Daredevil Season 2.
Oh, yeah.
Really excited. However, this ETA kind of ties into Marvel's The Defenders miniseries that's gonna happen.
Yeah, don't forget about that little thing that's everything's leading up to.
So the Defenders will probably happen before Jessica Jones season 2 starts, in theory, and this is pure speculation, because they have to have it out by a certain point. We don't know when that point is, but they have Luke Cage almost done filming, if not completely done. Daredevil's done. Iron Fist is probably a little farther in production than Jessica Jones season 2. So I think we'll get all the way through Iron Fist, get a Defenders, and then Jessica Jones season 2 will kick off quote unquote phase 2 of this Netflix deal.
It's so funny how I look at these Netflix shows totally different than any other TV show I've ever watched. Like, usually when I'm watching a TV show and the first season is good, you know, I usually just assume, okay, this is definitely getting a second season. This was an awesome show. It would be stupid if the network didn't give them a second season. And then usually I know in about a year's time I'm going to get more episodes and it's just going to continue and going on. I'm never thinking about the whole, you know, United Universe about it. But when it comes to this show, I'm just like, no, it's fine. Take a couple years off. We don't need more. We don't necessarily need more Jessica Jones right off the bat. You know, we got a really good sampling of her in those 13 episodes. Like, let's build this Defender stuff and then give me more. It's just funny how more forgiving I am. But it's totally traditional what they're doing. Like, I was shocked that we were getting Daredevil just a year later with a whole nother season. I was just like, holy crap, you know, but it's totally normal for TV shows to do that. But for some reason, like, just the quality and just having the superheroes shows being so good, I feel like it's just not possible. They're going to give me another season. Like, what world am I living in where this is actually happening?
We're living in a good world, man. Which brings me to my next point. What if they added The Punisher as a series?
Yeah, I heard a little bit about this, and I was kind of waiting for today's show to find out if this was a rumor, if this was official. I had to hear from the horse's mouth, which is my co-host, Chris, what is the true word with this Punisher news?
Are you calling me a horse? I need to clarify this before
You're the best kind of horse there is.
All right. Well, this is a report. This is, I guess we'd follow this under rumor, is that the Punisher series is in development between Marvel and Netflix, which would tie a lot into this Jessica Jones season 2 stuff if they're planning on doing it after the Defenders. Rather than, like, maybe they want to create more characters and the Punisher could be a good thing. The reason this is that Jon Bernthal's performance as the Punisher is being praised by the executives on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, I mean, he was amazing in The Walking Dead. He's great in The Wolf of Wall Street. There's no doubt that he's a great actor. So I think if this is true, I think this is big news, because when they announced these first original four shows into The Defenders, there was like a whole big press conference and everything. It happened in New York. They're like, we're getting all these four TV shows. It's all being filmed in New York. This is all happening at Netflix. There's a big media sweep around it, and it was huge news. Like, we would have been leading our show with it forever, because I believe all that happened before we even started this podcast. We would have been freaking out on this show if that happened. So the idea of just like, hey, we're adding another character, like, this is a big deal if this is true. So if they're going to bring in Punisher, who else might we get? Is it going to be true that we might get Blade? We might get a Blade TV series. Who knows? Maybe we're going to get Ghost Rider on the screen. Like, anything could happen now if they're just going to wheel in the Punisher like that.
Yeah, well, I think that I wouldn't say it goes that far, since the Punisher is getting a soft introduction in Daredevil season 2. But my guess has always been the second phase of Netflix should have been something called the Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
Which focused on the Punisher, Blade, Moon Knight or Ghost Rider or Elektra, you know, a little more supernatural. And we're getting Blade and Elektra both in Daredevil season 2. So I'm honestly really excited that the Punisher could get a series. A lot of people like the Punisher. I like to refer back to the Dirty Laundry short that came out at San Diego Comic-Con, I think in what, 2012, that summer. I remember that very, very vividly, and with Thomas Jane returning as the Punisher was really awesome. So I think the Daredevil would, or not Daredevil, the Punisher would thrive in a Marvel Netflix scenario.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And I think he would be very well. He needs that universe already established by the time he comes in, rather than being in the initial wave.
Yeah, I think it just goes to show you that we can't kind of look to Netflix for a formula with this kind of stuff. They kind of pivot on their heel and they adapt to how they need to adapt. to the, you know, the feedback they get from the shows. You know, with the movies, everything needs to be more set in stone. They need to announce these dates years in advance, and they need a pretty solid track record to put these movies out because they take so much work. But TV shows are more light on their feet. They can kind of, you know, they can get up started and go very quickly. So I kind of like that. We don't really know what to expect from Netflix, which is kind of one of the downsides with the Marvel movies, is just like, we know it's going to the Infinity War, we know it's going to have all these many characters in it. We don't really know anything about the Defenders yet, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah, totally thrilling. And that kind of leads us way to the other part of Marvel TV itself that's not Netflix related. Marvel TV is coming up with an untitled Marvel comedy series that will be on ABC coming up.
Okay. Now, this isn't Damage Control. This is something else, right?
Correct. Damage Control is still on its way, and it doesn't. They haven't said Damage Control really has a tone yet.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a comedy. Specifically, they call it the Untitled Marvel Comedy Series, and it's to be comedy based in opposition to the very dark Netflix shows. And this will air on, you know, over the air channel ABC.
Yeah. Now, I would think Slam Dunk, you know, just because, like, oh, funny Marvel, that's just going to go great. But in the grand scheme of things, I feel like humor and comedy is just the hardest thing to knock out of the park, because humor is way more subjective than dark and brooding. You know, those notes are a little bit easier to hit and just connect with people. But, like, you know, who knows what kind of humor this is going to be. Like, you know, it could be like independent, really smart type of humor, or it could be just like broad humor. Like, who knows? And then it's just like, are we going to get kind of like a workplace comedy where you just kind of make new characters that are reacting to the superhero world around them? Or do they, like, maybe they're like, this is a total stretch, but I mean, Matt Fraction's run of Hawkeye was kind of funny. That had a very humorous tone to it. So, you know, could this kind of be like a half-hour Hawkeye show, possibly? I don't think so, but, like, you know, where is it going to go?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing to take away from this is, A, there's no information other than the fact they're trying to work on a comedy series.
Mm-hmm.
It has not been officially greenlit to get a pilot. It has no title. It has no characters. Mm-hmm. So don't expect this to premiere this fall.
ABC Television just wants, and Marvel in general, wants to proliferate every single aspect of every screen that you watch. They need comic book shows on everything. We're probably going to be getting comic book characters coming into, like, Gray Sloan Hospital on Grey's Anatomy, and they're going to be operating on these, like, D-list Marvel characters just so we can have them in every show you don't even watch.
Well, I think that the thing is, I think they are now trying to compete with DC's offering, since DC technically covers four nights out of a 5-day week, with Supergirl, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvel technically only has one at a time going, because Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they'll swap in and out of that Tuesday night slot. So do I feel comfortable with this? I hope it's not a workplace comedy. they don't need to do that. I don't know how to feel, because I don't have enough information, but maybe it was more information comes and will alleviate that. I just hope it's not a cartoon.
Yeah, I can say it this way. If we're going to have one and it's funny, that's great, but I really don't think we need two of them. I feel like Damage Control, I'm already imagining, is going to be funny in my head. Like, how much comedy can we actually pull from it? I don't know. Like, I don't think we're necessarily oversaturated, or if we are, I'm really not minding it, but I think
DC has Gotham, sorry.
Yeah, oh, there you go. So it's just like, just cool your jets, Marvel. You know, you'll get there. You don't need to announce 1,000 shows. Get one in the tank that's funny and good, and then maybe think about another one.
Well, I don't think they've announced. I mean, they've announced the development rather than the actual series.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It could end up going nowhere, honestly.
It could totally get nixed. But yeah, so that's that. Something that's not going to get nixed, that we're going to get for sure, is Star Wars Episode 8.
Oh, Star Wars. Okay, I gotta adjust. We were talking all superhero stuff, but now I gotta get back in the mood of Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, I think you're always in the Star Wars mood, so don't lie to us.
I'm there.
So, according to John Boyega, who played Finn in the movies, that this movie is going to be a darker film than The Force Awakens.
Yes, that's what I want. That's what I want. You know, that everybody now on the planet is addicted to Star Wars. They were already pretty close, but this movie definitely got the rest of the fish on the hook. So now that we all got them there, let's do something dark. Let's do something a little bit more original. No more Death Stars. Let's go a different route. Let's get this brooding. Let's get this brooding, and I want to see some brutality with some lightsabers.
Which brings me to my next point. Finn says he also has a more physical role in this movie as well. Meaning, sure, he did some fighting here and there and had the lightsaber, but I think after his loss at the hands of Kylo Ren, he might be, you know, more prepared for things to happen later on down the road. So I expect this to be more of the Empire Strikes Back of this new trilogy. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what I've expected in my head, and hopefully that doesn't lead to disappointment or maybe I'll be blown away. Either way, I'll take it. I'll take either one, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
The darker fact we're getting more Star Wars is good enough for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Which leads me to this year. Already, we have a Star Wars film lined up this year with Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Darth Vader is rumored to appear in this movie.
Ooh, that's interesting because, you know, we're on that timeline where this is supposedly, I don't know, I know this is supposed to happen before A New Hope. You know, because it's supposed to be about these guys stealing the plans of the Death Star. I'm kind of curious where, like, is this immediately before it? Like, when Rogue One ends, is it leading up into A New Hope, like, right away? Or is this maybe a year or two before it, 3 years in the making? I don't know, but it definitely makes sense that Vader will be there. Like, now, do I think he's going to be an intricate part in the movie? Technically, he could be. I mean, James Earl Jones could still voice him. It's kind of one of those things where you could bring back Vader super, super easy with, like, literally no problem. So, like, I could see it happening, but how much do I want it to happen is kind of the question.
So, what I've read on this is that Darth Vader will not be an integral part, but will appear as, like, a very, very mean presence in the film. It's like, to give the main cast something to fear. And that they have in fact built the armor to modify to match A New Hope armor, like that he wears in there. But James Earl Jones should be back to voice him if they do it.
Oh yeah,
but they cannot get David Prowse, who's now 80 years old, to be back in the Vader outfit.
Yeah, I you could put literally anybody in that costume, and I don't think it would matter so much. So
as long as it's real, a physical costume rather than just a CG.
Oh,
outfit.
God, that would be a nightmare. I could almost imagine a comedic appearance of Darth Vader, whether or not you want that to happen. Because I'm kind of imagining that scene, you know, where Kylo Ren was going crazy and chopping up that room, and then those two stormtroopers kind of come around the corner and go, nope, we're not going to go that way. I could kind of see some of these Rogue One pilots, like, running through, like, a Star Destroyer or something, you know, just trying to, like, find something or running away from some stormtroopers, and then they kind of see Vader down at the end of the hallway, and they're just like, oh fuck, and then they just jump out of a window or something like that. Like, that would kind of be a funny cameo. But yeah, I don't imagine he's, like, gonna occupy any major screen time.
Yeah, definitely not. And as for the timeline parts, this is gonna be interesting because if they're stealing the plan, the rumored, published plot is that the guy who designed the Death Star is having one of those second guesses on himself, so he gets his daughter and this group of people to steal the plans back. And I don't know if the Death Star will have been built by the time he wants to steal these plans back, or if it will be in progress when they go to steal them. So that could definitely depend on when they start building that, and that, you know, 18 to 20 year gap there.
Very true.
So I'm gonna guess 10 years. I'm gonna guess right in the middle.
All right, sure.
But they started building it by the end of Revenge of the Sith, so I don't know. Star Wars is so confusing. This is my alien. This is my alien Prometheus timeline conundrum here. Once they start doing prequels that aren't sequels, so well. Enough Star Wars. Let's jump into something different. Back to X-Men. All right, get back in superhero mode.
All right, let's do it.
All right, Legion, the TV series,
is
not set in the movie universe.
Okay. That's a good determination that we needed to make.
Yes. And this will have all new characters other than Legion, the main character. They're not using movie mutants that have been introduced in the movies for this series.
Okay, so this is kind of showing Fox's hand, where, you know, Fox is like, we have our movie universe. It's kind of got a crazy timeline. We're kind of riding the ship right now. Things are going well. You know, if you're going to do a TV show, you are going to be in a totally different universe. You do your own thing with this IP. We're not going to be connecting it to what we got going on.
Or worst case scenario, they say this is all new, but if we want to connect it later on, that option's still there since we're not using double characters.
Yeah, maybe that's their contingency. Like, well, we don't know if this is going to be any good. If this ends up being good, we'll go ahead and we'll bundle you in.
Yeah. Also, not kind of outside of this, is the showrunners for the Hellfire series have left Hellfire to go do another series.
Ooh.
But Hellfire is still in production.
Okay.
Everything's full steam ahead. They're just going to have to get new people. So all right. I don't think we're going to see that one in the foreseeable future, like right now.
Well, definitely. If they got to find new showrunners, that one's going to be delayed a little bit.
Yeah. And Legion's already cast a main role. So I think we'll see that pretty soon. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, but speaking of showrunners really quick, last weekend my wife and I watched this really cool documentary on Netflix. I believe it was just called like Showrunners or like The Showrunner. Showrunner was in the title. It basically was a documentary all about showrunners, people that kind of take charge of all these different shows. And it was really cool to kind of see how unique this kind of, it's kind of a relatively new title in the industry. Like, only now in our generation is where we can really attach names to shows that are being made, like that are really making the shows whole. Before it was never really that big of a deal. So it's kind of cool, like actually hearing about these like showrunners now that are leaving and coming around. And it's like, it's a big deal. Like if a show loses its showrunner, it's kind of losing its heart. So, you know, I would say go watch that, and it would kind of give you a cool insight to how these shows are really made. But that's my little plug. It's always good to know what's out there to watch on Netflix.
Definitely. It's great. And, you know, I'm learning more about showrunners as I go as well. Something I never really followed up with. But, yeah, so Deadpool.
Oh, there we go. Them's the goods.
Yes. Officially rated R.
Yes.
We knew it was coming, but now we know why.
Yeah. Now we know why.
Strong violence and language throughout, sexual content, and graphic nudity.
There we go. That's what all the boys want to see on Valentine's Day. You know, we want to see some of them bits. But honestly, we don't necessarily know what bits is. Maybe Ryan Reynolds, he's very excited to be in this movie. You know, maybe he's very proud of a specific scene in the movie. I have a feeling you're probably going to get some Ryan Reynolds, but he's got me all flustered. You're going to get some of his gluteus maximus ladies. I have a feeling. So maybe that's a whole other reason to go see the movie.
Yes, definitely. However, there is a petition to make a PG-13 version so people can take their kids to go see it.
No, it's just called the TV cut. Just wait until this comes out on TV and you can get the PG cut there.
Yes. I totally don't agree with that. I think just watch it as it is, and then maybe watch a TV cut, or just wait till your kids are a little older.
Wait until your kids really aren't quite the age to watch it yet, but they sneak into your like office and they steal the Blu-ray, and then they watch it when you're like not at home or something, and then your kid has this really cool memory of this really violent like movie that they shouldn't be watching. But like, yeah, I'm seeing this movie at midnight to hopefully weed out all the weird people that shouldn't be there. But
midnight is the worst time to weed out weird people. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Well, for this release, but like I swear, if I go see this movie, like if I see this movie for a second time more during the day, and someone's bringing their kids there, I'm just gonna be like, this is no, you are ruining it. I mean, I appreciate you adding to the box office for this movie, but it's just like, don't do that. But either way, I'm excited to see some skin in a superhero movie.
I think they should charge full price tickets for kids who want to go see an R movie, like when they take them to an R-rated movie.
Yeah, the movie theaters be like, that's fine. If you want to go see it, you got to pay double. You got to pay double if you want to see this.
Not double. The kids' tickets are like
no a double. Little cheaper. I'm saying double. There's no half measures with me. You're paying so double if I'm gonna have to deal with you, little kid.
And you know what? I want to touch on this. Deadpool tickets aren't available yet. I've looked as of today. They're not available. So we always talk about we need to see. I looked today. They're not available yet.
Oh, man. All right. Well, maybe once the month is over, maybe once we get into February, we can get them about 2 weeks ahead of time. But I'm seeing this thing at midnight, that's for sure.
We got spoiled getting all our other tickets early.
Yeah.
But I think I've rethought it. I think I want to watch this the night before it comes out, because they'll probably do a 7 o'clock showing rather than a midnight showing.
Uh-huh.
And then Zoolander 2 over the weekend.
I see. Yeah, I think that would be a decent split.
And because I just don't want to wait to see Deadpool.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, I'm on so many news sites, is it going to get ruined for me if I try that?
But, like, I stay away from reviews, but if I start to hear really bad initial stuff about Zoolander 2, I might just wait for that one.
Yeah. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Something we might hear bad stuff about is Gambit.
Hold on. We're getting Gambit news. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. So they'll start filming in New Orleans this March.
Ooh, that's coming up.
Yes, that is coming up. They've not changed the release date yet.
Mm-mm.
It's still October, but at the awards this weekend, at the Golden Globes, Channing Tatum was wearing a very weird hairstyle,
mm-hmm.
which means he's getting ready for his Gambit hairstyle.
Yeah, and we have a look at it.
How do you feel?
I mean, this is a step in the right... I will say this is a step in the right direction for the Gambit movie as a whole. We have kind of honestly been shitting on the movie just because we haven't heard anything. There's been weird contract things. We already don't know if there even should be a Gambit movie to begin with. But, like, seeing Channing Tatum kind of trying to don a look kind of like Gambit, it helps. It helps. I'm not saying it alleviates all of my worries, but it's a step in the right direction. I'm trying, like, right now as I'm speaking, I'm kind of putting my hand over the picture, trying just to focus on his head, maybe seeing it in, like, a trench coat, and I think I can kind of see it. But at least we're getting somewhere. That's what we're trying to get.
So my thought over the week was for this. This year, we are getting two movies based on characters who made their debut in X-Men Origins Wolverine, the worst X-Men movie to date. But we are not getting, as far as we know, Wolverine in the X-Men movie that comes out this year.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Like, we're going to do our best to get what we can out of this Origins movie that everybody hated.
We're going to redeem Deadpool, and we're going to attempt to redeem Gambit all in one go.
Yeah. I mean, this is a good direction for the production. At least we're getting something, but they need to hit the ground running, and they need to punch me in the face with Gambit over and over again to get me excited. Like, I really need to be embraced by the Gambitness, because everybody out there who's a nerd knows who Gambit is. I mean, that's just kind of a no-brainer. We all grew up watching the 90s cartoon show. You know, he's been in the comic books for ages. We know who he is. But, like, the normal people out there don't really know who Gambit is. Like, if you're just kind of a movie universe type of person, and maybe you're a little too old for the 90s cartoon, or you just never got around to it, like, Gambit might not even be on your radar. So
no, but Channing Tatum is, and that's where they're getting him.
That's true, but they need to kind of start educating the public for a movie that's supposed to come out in October. Hell, we don't know anything yet. Basically, yeah. Give me something. Give me something, Fox. I need it. You fucked up Fantastic Four. I don't trust you.
Well, that's funny, because the next news is Fantastic Four.
Oh, that was not intentional, but that's a good transition into this bad news.
This is gonna be great for you. It was nominated for 5 Razzies. The Raspberry Awards are for worst movies made this year.
You know,
this
what?
Is technically not the number one movie. This is not the most nominations for a film either this year.
Uh-huh. Well, but, I mean, with this movie kind of cropping back up into the news, I'm starting to see not necessarily defenders of Fantastic Four, but I'm starting to see people go like, oh, people are too harsh on it. It's not as bad as it was. And I'm going to double down just to make up for these people. It is not a good movie. It is bad. You don't have to find a way to defend it. Like, it's almost like their, like, friend or something, or someone they knew worked on the movie, and they're just trying to be nice about it. This is not a good movie. Stop defending it. You don't need to give it some sort of credit. It doesn't really deserve any. It was a rushed movie. It shouldn't have been made. It was just too many studios, just too many executives trying to manipulate this crap shit. It was bad. It deserves these
Razzies. Mike's making a lot of assumptions here, but the worst point, the point of this is we have five Razzies for worst picture of the year, worst remake of the year, or worst director of the year, worst screen combo of the year, and worst screenplay of the year.
I could agree with all those. I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of the really bad movies last year, so I don't want to say it necessarily deserves all these awards, but it definitely deserves to be nominated. I can say that.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, there's a lot going on here. I think was Jupiter Ascending was last year. I think that one kind of got a lot of awards. 50 Shades of Grey, maybe.
Yeah, I think that was up there too.
And Adam Sandler has the most. For this
year. I would assume he would be on there.
Because he just does. I mean, he just pixels, and then he did that stupid Netflix movie.
Yeah, that's true.
That nobody watched.
No, a lot of people watched that. Now, they're not Netflix is not saying if it was received well, but Netflix kind of, they don't really share their data, but they said that it's their kind of their most watched thing of all time, something in that vein. So people are watching it, but they're not saying if it's any good. So. No. But either way, I'm just going to go ahead and double down and say, you don't need to defend a Fantastic Four. It's done. It was so bad that they killed all the future sequels. So
yeah, that was that's a big, big pit there. But again, whatever, so be it. Another movie that's coming out that might alleviate us in March is Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And the rumor is, and this can either help our bet or hurt our bet. I don't know which one is going to be. Is the rumors Bizarro may appear as the third villain of the movie.
Oh, man. What is going on?
So, if my reaction to this is, if there is a third villain, fuck this movie.
Well, it kind of seems like there's supposed to be. I mean, we've heard from people have had a hand in making this movie that they have said that the moment that they showed in that trailer, that is not the end-all be-all end of the movie. So it seems like there is going to be another antagonist outside of Doomsday, it seems like.
I can't even find words to describe that. But at the same time, I guess that kind of gives you, like, yes, Bizarro does appear in the film, but that creature was not Bizarro. So, like, nobody wins if Bizarro shows up, I'm going to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Batman v Superman, right? And the least thing I've seen in this movie is Batman fighting Superman. I've seen Wonder Woman. I've seen Doomsday. I've seen Lex Luthor. I've seen Sand Superman Sand. Troopers. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just need to see this movie and hear less about it. But I will be there. Opening day, despite how we feel.
We gotta know how it shapes up.
We do, and it could be great and mind-blowing and fantastic, or it could be like another Man of Steel. Mm-hmm. It's kind of meh. So, Bizarro could show up. That could go either way. Let's not worry about it.
let's move on.
Let's go to the next DC movie that feels a little better. Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, not 10 minutes before we started recording, released the first official posters for the film.
Yeah, it's kind of more of an artistic. There's no pictures. It's just kind of a depiction of what the characters might look like if they were maybe skulls? Cut out of paper.
Yeah, so it's very stamps. Like, it's like it gives me a Dia de los Muertos vibe, like to the art style. They're like, you know, here's a skull, and this is what it looked like as the skull of this character in the movie.
Yeah, and more importantly, the title of our movie is a hashtag. That needs to be put out there at this poster.
#, Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
But very interesting, very weird. Each character gets their own poster later on. Mm-hmm. But what I mean, just kind of looking at this, I don't get the vibe of the film.
This it's kind of all over the place.
This is a weird poster. I expect this from a Pixar film, not a Suicide Squad movie, which makes me wonder, like, who's in charge of marketing and why is the tone so weird?
Mm-hmm.
But then they remind me the trailer, the first, I guess, first official trailer that's not San Diego Comic-Con, releases on Tuesday during their DC special they're having on TV.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about this next week, so I'm looking forward to talking about the trailer next week.
Yes, all the DC TV shows return this week as well. I believe Supergirl's already been back, but The Flash and The Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow premiere this week. Yeah. Just kind of get that out there. And, you know, they're putting this out there with the Flash day on Tuesday there. So we'll talk about it next week when we talk about the shows in the trailer, but take a look at the poster for the time being, I guess.
Yeah. You know, get your jollies off like while you can with that poster.
Yeah, jollies. Whatever he said. Man, I don't even know. So, Wonder Woman, another DC movie coming down the line.
Yeah, what's going on?
They have cast Connie Nielsen to play Queen Hippolyta, I believe is how you pronounce that.
Okay.
Connie Nielsen was from the movie Gladiator. And Hippolyta, I believe, is the mother of Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I think what we kind of take away from this news is that we're going to kind of we're going to see her basically where she comes from. She's not going to, it doesn't seem like she's going to be 100% removed kind of from her Amazonian place of origin. So we'll kind of see maybe some of that sparkling gold ancient way of living maybe.
Yeah, the Amazonian tribe. And again, this role was originally for Nicole Kidman, who didn't take it because of, I think, other conflicts. So Connie Nielsen will be stepping up into it.
Oh, well, Nicole, we don't need you. We got Connie.
Go to do another movie. Not Aquaman, though. The other DC movie we got news on this
week. Man, we got – this is we're balancing the teeter-totter of superhero slate right now. The first half was very Marvel. Now we're going very DC.
Yes. Aquaman, the actress, Amber Heard, is in contentions to play Mera in the Justice League and Aquaman.
All right.
I don't remember what I know Amber Heard from.
Yeah, I'm really curious if our little microphones are picking up our pitter patter and clicking as we search to see who is Amber Heard. So don't feel too sad if you're not picking up on this, and because we are not either.
Yes, I definitely remember her in Friday Night Lights or something. I didn't ever watch the movie, but I remember her name. Mm-hmm. But apparently, she's been in other movies such as Pineapple Express, Zombieland, and I guess that's, more
I think recently, that's all you're really gonna remember.
Most recently, Magic Mike XXL. if we want to throw Channing Tatum back into this list.
Yeah, nothing against her, but she's just kind of a blonde face, so we'll just kind of have to see how she adds into this universe.
Yeah, definitely forgettable by my standards. I apologize. But oh well. On the DC front, those are movies. They also have the TV shows. We kind of talked a little bit. Legion of Superheroes could appear in, we'll get a hint of them in one of the DC TV shows.
Oh, okay, so Legion of the Superheroes, what exactly is this?
They're the Justice League from the 30th century.
Oh, okay, so future Justice League.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah, and that makes sense. We've been dabbling in time travel in this CW universe, so.
My guess is Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Flash does sometimes deal with time travel.
That's true.
But I don't think he will go that far into the future. He tends to just go back in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that's going to play off, but that was something they noted, which links me into Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I'm glad that the beginning of the year we get these fun TV shows.
Yes, Legend of Tomorrow is something I'm very, very hyped for. Jonah Hex is to appear in one of the Legends of Tomorrow episodes. Yeah, Jonah Hex, he had his own movie several years ago with Josh Brolin in the main role and Michael Fassbender in one of the villain roles. Mm-hmm. So they went on to play, you know, Magneto and Thanos, two even more popular, powerful characters. but Jonah Hex, I mean, that's great that, you know, these TV shows can incorporate lesser-known B characters along the routes. Especially like Jonah Hex and maybe the Legion of Superheroes. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I mean, like, the TV shows, they can do pretty well. So, like, the movie didn't do very well. I think we're going to do a better job.
Yes. What I always forget about is that DC has a cartoon animated TV show called Vixen that ties into the Arrow Flash universe.
Well, I don't think that's really any knock on you not knowing. It's not even really on a network, it's on an app. It's on the CW Seed.
Yeah,
that's not and that's not necessarily a knock on the app. It's just like you kind of got to know that this app even exists to, and you have to know what it is to even know that there's exclusive content on it, you know?
Yeah, so Vixen is a show on there, and she's a character that lives in the DC Arrow universe, as they sometimes appear in their shows. Well, they've confirmed a second season of the show will appear. And the voice actress who plays Vixen will guest star on Arrow in a live-action premiere this season. And the hope is that she will get her own live-action series or possibly join the Legends of Tomorrow team in future episodes or seasons.
Now, that would be amazing. Like, can you imagine, like, we're introducing characters now as animated shows and then bringing them into the live action? That is just so cool. That's so bizarre. I love how that medium can kind of cross together. Now, I don't know if this is true, but since it's CW, maybe it is. Since I haven't personally seen Vixen, but I'm curious if Vixen is canon in the CW universe, the animated show.
Yes, she is.
Oh, that's even better. Like, holy crap. Like, I love how that's melding together. That's so creative. Now yeah. I actually got to go watch Vixen. Maybe it's on Hulu, too, as well.
Yeah, like you said, CW Seed. I don't know.
You got to report back and let us know if they have an Apple TV app for CW Seed.
I will look into that. Yes. So Vixen. I mean, again, DC's kind of, their TV shows are great. Their movies haven't sold me yet, but their TV, like what they're doing, is just groundbreaking and awesome. And I'm glad they're going forward with it. Which brings me back to their DC's video game universe. Since we started with Marvel's video game universe, in that the game called DC Universe Online, which debuted in 2011 on the PC, PS3. And now PS4 is coming to Xbox One later this year.
I guess it's doing fairly well if it can survive that long on the PC and come to console.
So it's an MMO type game. So you have your character and you play in the larger DC universe. And I heard good things about it when it came out, and they've constantly been supporting it every year. And I might give it a try depending on what the price tag is. Lego Marvel is kind of where my money's going to go, but I mean, if DC Universe Online has some great features, who knows? I may give it a go through just to see what it's like.
There's no reason to not be curious, that's for sure.
Oh, I'm always curious, Mike. I'm always curious.
Why so curious, Chris? Why so curious? Man, I can't. This show has been so packed, and we still got a couple little things to catch here before we wrap this buddy up.
Yes, my favorite news of the week, Heroes Reborn was canceled.
So I'm guessing you were not a big fan. Did you give it a chance? Like, I'm not saying you had to, but I'm curious because I had only seen that kind of pilot, or the first episode is kind of as far as I got.
I think I watched 5 of the 13 episodes.
Oh, wow. So you did your due diligence. I mean, some people don't even make it past one episode before they make their judgment. But if you're saying you watched 5 and you're glad it's canceled, I think that's safe.
Well, the worst part is it's always on right before the Blacklist. And so I always catch the last 10 minutes of all these new episodes. And I'm even more confused watching the last, like, 5 to 10 minutes before this. I'm like, oh my god, I'm so glad I got out when I did, because I couldn't take this right now if I tried. So Heroes Reborn canceled, not coming back. It's just a one season thing. Hopefully they'll just lay it to rest and we'll remember it as it was seasons 1 and 2.
Yeah, like 1.5 kind of.
Yes. Then here's for Mike's favorite bit of news.
Oh no,
Alien Covenant is going for a hard R rating.
Okay, which is a sequel to Prometheus, prequel to Aliens. I'm starting to kind of comprehend the timeline in my head, but
if I had cookies to give you for that, I would give you a cookie right now.
Yeah, R's good. We want R Alien movies. PG-13 will get you more money, but Ridley Scott, good on you for getting that R rating.
Especially a hard R. Like, he's not even like, oh, we want to like just have a little bit of an R rating. Like, we want to go full R.
Yeah,
like we want pirates to love this movie because it's rated R.
I think he's just like, remember when Alien movies used to terrify you? They're gonna terrify you again.
Yeah, blood, guts everywhere.
Yeah, let's do it.
Which brings me to this next last bit of news. A trailer came out of the blue this week that kind of blew me away, and that's the pun unintended.
Yeah, because it was secretive. This is crazy. I'm just gonna let you tell it because this is exciting news for me.
The movie is called 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yes.
And it is essentially a spiritual successor / sequel to the Cloverfield film of like the early late 2000s.
Yeah. Now, to kind of lay down a little bit of history, if you haven't seen the Cloverfield movie, basically when it came out, it was kind of in the height of the found footage type of aspect of movie, and you know, J.J. Abrams decided to adapt that with a monster movie, and it made a lot of waves in the news for getting people motion sickness and making them run out of the theater, and like I'm sure that happened, but it just totally overshadowed the movie, unfortunately, because I went and saw the movie and I liked it. I thought it was a good movie. It was fun. It was exciting. It was thrilling. Obviously, you got to get over some of those aspects of the movie where it's just like, oh, would they actually have a camera here? But we don't have to worry about any of that because this trailer for 10 Cloverfield Lane is what JJ is saying is a blood relative, and there's no found footage aspect to it.
Yes. So it is essentially like a three people are living in a fallout shelter. And mm-hmm. one of those people being John Goodman, which really shocked me. Like, I love all-star. John Goodman.
He is an all-star.
And the main actress is Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who was in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, and she's been in a lot of horror movies.
Favorite movies, Scott Pilgrim, so I'm very excited.
They were able to film this whole movie and then put out a trailer less than two months before the movie premieres this March 11th.
Yeah, and that is honestly one of the best parts of just Cloverfield, I guess now we can say as a franchise. You know, when the first movie came out, they basically were like, we're going to make viral marketing our bitch. They came out with all these kind of secretive videos. People wanted to know about these monsters. Were they aliens? Where did they come from? They're very secretive about the whole thing, and it was really, really cool. And they did something kind of unthinkable in this day and age of the internet, is they filmed a movie in secret. And now they cut the trailer and no one knew. We didn't even get a rumor. We didn't get anything. And then they even released the trailer in kind of a cryptic way. Like, the trailer was officially released as a cam footage first. That's the first way you saw it. So it's like this secret movie trailer came out and you're watching it and you're like, am I even supposed to be watching this? But you know, if you kind of dive into it, and you look into it like, oh, this was kind of officially how they released it. We got like a real full trailer now. It doesn't look like it's a cam. So it's just really cool and it was exciting. And I think the surprise aspect was the coolest part.
Yeah. And what's really cool, I found out later, is they announced that this was filmed during 2014. Like, they mm-hmm. the production wrapped up December of 2014. So this has been sitting around for a year and several months with nobody saying anything about it.
Yeah, maybe they wanted to, because now JJ's name has been worth more money than it ever has now, and they were like, we want this to come out maybe after Star Wars. We want JJ's name on that right after he's just changed the world with his Star Wars movie, so this is good timing.
Yeah, especially, again, JJ didn't direct it, he's just a producer, and his Bad Robot Productions is part of it. Mm-hmm. But, again, having his name on it is great, having the original Cloverfield being the sleeper success that it was, you know, owing to that. And then, again, John Goodman, can't believe it, I'm looking forward to it, there's so much mystery, we got less than 2 months to wait, that's even better in my book, I'm ready for 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah, and just, like, two more things just real quick, because this was really exciting to me, and I'm kind of glad we're capping off the show with it. The first thing is the mood of the trailer was already really, really cool, because if you go in not knowing what you're watching, it starts off kind of, like, as, like, an indie comedy vibe, and then it goes into this really, really dark thing. And then at the very end, you see the reveal of the name, and you're basically shitting your pants already. So that's really, really cool.
Yes.
And the second thing is which this is kind of where I get to pull a little bit of a hipster vibe out of me, and sometimes it's kind of fun being the first person to the party. This movie is being directed by Dan Trachtenberg. Now, you don't really have to know who he is, but I do, which is why I feel cool. So I'm just going to try to win these points while I can and be like a little slimy hipster. But he used to be on the Totally Rad Show, which was kind of this video podcast with Jeff Cannata and Alex Albrecht. And it was just really, really cool. I mean, it wasn't a huge show. It was like just a niche grouping of like of geeks and nerds that liked video games and movies and TV shows. And they would review stuff and they'd play little movie themed games. And it was just like this little YouTube channel. And it was really, really fun. And I grew to really love these guys, you know, over my college years watching them. And it was really cool seeing Dan Trachtenberg kind of adapt in the show, because he ended up getting a directing job kind of off of his Portal short that he made. He made a really viral short of like a live action Portal thing. So you
called Portal No Escape, if you want to look that up.
Yeah, so give that a watch. Dan Trachtenberg's a really, really cool guy. Yeah, I got to know him kind of intimately through this show. I would definitely recommend going back and watching some of the Totally Rad show if you kind of want to see his roots. So I just feel really, really cool because, like, he's not a selling point of the movie right now. His movie is in – his font is very, very tiny at the very, very bottom of the credits on the poster and stuff. But I think it's so cool that he's doing this. It goes to show you that, like, Bad Robot – and JJ, you know, they really trust him. I think he's going to end up being a huge director. And I'm so glad I got to know him first from this little YouTube series. So he's a true geek at heart. So I think we can trust this movie in his hands. I'm super excited. I'm a very small amount of people that's geeking out about the director right now, but yeah, I feel cool. I'm being a smarmy nerd right now. I don't care. But
if we want to tie that back into comic books, he was slated to direct the Why the Last Man movie. Yes. From the comic books before that whole product was canceled, which doesn't reflect on him. I mean, I just think that's a hard thing to adapt. Yeah,
I think it was a rights issue to who had it and things expiring possibly. Yeah. But
either way, he's got nerd cred, like you said. And we're definitely
he's got the cred. He's an awesome guy. I'm super excited that, you know, I've been a fan of his for a while and he's just about to blow up. So keep that name in the back of your head, Dan Trachtenberg. You are going to be big, sir. Big.
But don't take him to an airport if he's going to blow up. That's all I'm saying. That's the way to end the show. So, all right, Mike, if they want to follow you and your Dan Trachtenberg musings, where can they do so?
All right, well, if you want to see me be a hipster elitist a little bit more, you can follow me at Mike Royer Design on Twitter and Instagram. And as always, you can read my webcomics at pickledcomics.com.
Did you just get retweeted by some famous celebrity?
Okay, you're going to bring that up. Yeah, me and my wife has been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and I'm in love with Terry Crews' character, which is conveniently his name is Terry in the show. So I drew a little picture of Terry Crews, and I almost didn't tag him in it on Instagram, but I drew a little picture of him, put him on Instagram with my iPad, and I tagged him in it, and bam, he retweeted it like within 10 minutes, and he said it was awesome. So since it was like 9:30 at night, I'm kind of hoping it maybe wasn't a social media team and it was actually him. So I'm just like, oh, Terry Crews, I love you so much. Thanks for sharing my stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I've been showing Mike stuff off this week. I'm like, hey, my friend did this. Look at that. Terry Crews liked this stuff.
I'm so cool. So, Chris, you know, but, you know, if they want to follow you, you know, if they want to get to know you, if they want to see you building more Lego stuff, if they want to reach out to you and find out what those juicy rumor spoilers were about the Marvel Universe, where can they follow you?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Valdan, V-A-L-D-A-N, or go to Comic UI where all the news breaks, like that Jessica Jones stuff. I had it on there before we talked about it. So
nice.
Do that and, you know, whatever. You can listen to me on the Superhero Slate, but where else can they do the Superhero Slate stuff at, Mike?
Man, as always, as I say at the end of every show, you can visit superheroslate.com. The avenues that our show is growing to is exploding. So this list might have to be more concise sooner or later, but you can find all of the places we host the show at superheroslate.com. We're on iTunes. We're going to be on Google Play Music soon. We're on YouTube with awesome videos that Chris puts together. We're on SoundCloud. We're on Stitcher. We're on Tumblr. You can follow us just with email. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. We're all over the place. I think Chris is also trying to get us on Apple News. Is that what it is?
Yes. Comic UI is on Apple News. It's still kind of an experimentative kind of feed thing, but I would like to see us on Apple News, yes.
Basically, there's going to be a future where you can find our show at like 36 locations. So the best thing to do is just to go
coming to a street corner near you.
Yeah, exactly. But as always, the most popular way is iTunes. So if you're a fan of the show, please head on over to iTunes and leave us a little review. That really helps us get in front of some more faces and gets our show into some more friendly ears. And if you're a super fan of the show, share the show with a friend. Spread the love and the gospel of Superhero Slate.
Yes, yes, most certainly. And this being one of the longest shows in recent memory,
I think
it's a good time to get going. And we'll catch you guys next week.
All right, bye, everybody. Bye.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe.